Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Lawmaker is starting a push to honor the service members killed in the 2019 terror attack at NAS Pensacola. State Representative Alex Andrade is working on legislation to rename a portion of Navy Boulevard after the victims. The stretch from Duncan Road to Gulf Beach Highway would be called Warrior Sacrifice Way. Andrade says this name change will not appear on maps.
It's more of an honorary change. Like, you know, I did the Chappie James Bridge designation across 3 Mile Bridge. So there will be a sign honoring with a sign being put up. And it'll just be forever in state statute.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. When I first read this item on the agenda, I did not realize that that was what the purpose of it was. So I'm glad that Channel 3 talked to Alex about this. But yeah, renaming that stretch from Duncan. Duncan is the name of the road from the front of the base up to the basically on the other side of the water. And then it becomes Navy at that point. And then, of course, at Gulf Beach Highway. But renaming that stretch of road in an honorary designation, not a name change on a map. It'll still be Navy Boulevard. But just like we have a lot of streets named, you know, the Pensacola Fallen Memorial. I forget the officer's stretch of Bayfront Parkway. You know, Chappie James Memorial Bridge. It's still officially, what's the official name? John, what's the official name of that stretch of road?
3 Mile Bridge?
Nope.
I didn't know there was going to be a quiz.
It's U.S. Highway 98.
Oh,
sorry. So it's, I mean, you could say it's officially the Chappie James, and it is.
I've just lived here too long
but,
to,
you know,
like, change.
It's not, I guess it's the Bob Sykes Bridge, but it's also just, you know, 399. So I don't know. These things are a little confusing to me. What do you call it?
Yeah.
So there's been a push on ever since the bridge got opened to call it by something new. But language is basically defined by use, and the users say 3 Mile Bridge.
3 Mile Bridge. So I was like, I've lived here long enough that I just, yeah.
The users also typically say north and south, even though it's east and west. So it's a bridge that identifies as northbound and southbound rather than eastbound and westbound.
It identifies?
Well, I mean, how else would you say it? I don't know. Or we identify it as. Could that be a thing?
Now
I'm thinking out loud, right? You have, you know, identifies as male, identifies as female. How about we identify you as male or we identify you as female or we identify you as a north-south aiming bridge instead of an east-west aiming bridge?
Exactly.
Highway 90 is scenic, right?
Yes.
But it's north-south at that point.
Right.
But it's Highway 90. It's all confusing. But no, I kind of like this, we identify you as, because then you have to ask somebody your pronouns. You just tell them what they are. You say, I identify you as a female. There you go.
Okay.
Solved. I mean, if communities can identify a thing, I don't know why the individual has to identify it. Actually, it is kind of an interesting issue because we talked last week very briefly about this court case that's, you know, working its way through, as is always the case with the cases that are going to eventually wind up at the Supreme Court. They take years. But the Supreme Court decided to not stay implementation of the change of policy regarding your passport, which is actually just a little bit on my brain right now because, you know, we're just getting passports, obviously, so we can flee the country, you know, because of Trump.
Is that what you're doing? Oh.
No, we actually had passports for a long time, and then we let them lapse because it just seemed like a lot of money, especially with the kids, you know, to renew them. And then the question, because we had let them lapse, is, well, do we want to go on this particular trip at an extra $800 for everybody to get a passport or whatever? And we've always kind of just, So we're in the process of getting them again. So it's just on my mind a little bit what's going on with the passports. But, yeah, so the passport currently, under the Biden administration, there had been an other box, you know, male, female, other. And under the Trump administration, there's no other box. Unless the court decides to, you know, pause that, which they, you know, had, but then they decided to not pause it anymore, and so the Supreme Court ultimately said, yeah, we're not going to pause that. Now, that doesn't mean they've ruled on whether you're entitled to have an Xbox on your passport. Oh. Another box.
Well, you got me a,
an Otterbox. I don't know. Anyway. But, you know, and Ketanji Brown Jackson wrote this very, I thought, very good dissent from, they don't really issue opinions on these kinds of things. It's just a no, go away, or yes, okay, fine for now, because it's not the final opinion on the issue. It's not whether people are entitled to have an other on their passport. But she wrote a, I thought, actually quite a good dissent explaining why the government's position made no sense. The essence, the key element for her, and this is the argument they're making, is the plaintiffs say that it hurts them to have to be forced to call themselves male or female. The government says that it hurts the government to not be allowed to express its view of gender on the passport, which is, after all, its own document. So it's a question of whose speech gets to control the contents of a passport. And Ketanji Brown Jackson said, well, okay, you guys claim it's a big injury against you that you have to say other on a male-female document, the government. And she says, but you're allowing these people to keep their passports as they currently are until the time when they have to renew. Well, it can't be that big of an injury if you're not making them change it. Right? I mean, it either is a big injury or an inaccuracy, therefore you should have to change it, or you're going to allow them to keep it until it naturally expires and then they have to renew it, in which case it's not that big of a deal. And she said, for that reason, the concerns about the plaintiffs and the harm to them are controlling, and you should allow them to keep their, you know, you should allow this law, this rule to stay in place until it litigates its way all the way through. I actually thought she was right about that, even though I more agree with the end result, which is let's have, you know, male and female only. And the reason for that is actually simple. Whose document is it? I mean, you know, I say it's my passport, but the name on the passport, I mean my name, but the name on the front says United States of America. It's a United States of America document, just like your driver's license. It's not your driver's license. A driver's license belongs to the state. That's where they can take it back if they don't want you to have it anymore. You give me that, right? They can retrieve it, especially if you misbehave during a traffic incident. We're going to keep that. So the document belongs to the state, to the issuing agency. And because it belongs to the issuing agency, it's up to them what they say on it. I mean, it's really that. To me, it's that. It really doesn't have anything to do with, you know, gender ideology or your ability to identify as something that you were not born as. It's, you don't have to even get to that question. All you have to get to is the issue of, well, who owns the document and what do they get to say on it? Well, they get to say whatever they want to say on it. Now, you can also talk about questions of, you know, what is the document for? And since the document is primarily for identification purposes, then physical features or facts about you become the relevant information that you have contained on it. Things like height and eye color, right? And birth, not so much because it matters when you were born, but more because it matters how old you are. We can identify people based on age. Also, if we need to do identifying information and like to go back and find some about you, we can. But, you know, it's to validate who you are, that you're this person. So the most useful things in the passport are what? A photo, right? And some of your basic identifying information about who you are so that they can, you know, make sure you're not on some list, but also they can, okay, 5'6". Well, you know, looks here like it says you're 5'11". That's not you, sir, right? Like, you know, if I had a passport that said 5'11". Okay, well, once you've got that, then the question is, well, what do we think you look like? And then it actually gets kind of interesting. Because on the one hand, you can very snarkily say, and I mean, not wrongly, but you can say, well, do I get to identify as 5'11"? Now, of course, the answer is no. But, I mean, why should I be assigned my birth at last year? I mean, or my height at last year? Why can't I choose my height? Why can't I choose to be blonde? Or in my case, that's kind of close, but let's say brunette, you know? Why can't I choose black hair color? I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to be a jerk about it, but, it, you know, these are physical features. Well, male and female are readily available identifying categories. Okay, so then what if you do, in fact, look 5'11"? Or what if you do, in fact, seem to have brunette hair? Like, what if you dye it? If I dye my hair, should my passport say red or should it say black? No, I mean, legitimate question. If you dye your hair, should your passport say black or red? So it's not so easy to answer, right? Like, you kind of want to say, well, it was red when you were issued it, but it really the question is, same as a picture. You know, should you be allowed to change the picture on your passport? Should you be allowed to, I mean, because theoretically a picture would be what you look like now, closest resemblance to who you are now. So if you've changed your features dramatically, then, you know, even like mustaches and beards and things like that, you know, we don't include facial hair on there, but you could think of a world where you might, plus with digital technology, you could, you kind of see where I'm going with this is it isn't as important, maybe, whether it's male and female by chromosome. My wife always likes to say, if it's got a Y, it's a guy. XY.
That's pretty good. Yeah, I never thought about that.
It's brilliant, right?
Yes.
If you've got a Y, you're a guy.
I love
but
it.
We don't do genetic testing of people to find out which chromosome. And you do have the very rare case of the XXY or the, you know, there's all kinds of, there's a little bit of weird cases out there. So you don't do that. You're not going to, they don't take you in the back room and make you strip down to find out whether you're man or female. I mean, that's not how this works ever. I don't think ever. So male and female are general categories. When we look at people, we can identify them. Okay, but if that's true, and if the hair color thing kind of makes sense, and if the facial kind of makes sense, you kind of see where maybe presents as female or presents as male would be a more appropriate way of marking it. Of course, typically for the vast majority of people, is and presents as are the same thing, right? I don't know. It's just it's not such an obvious answer what your passport should say, if only because if you make the argument this is for identifying people based on their features, well, you know, if somebody looks more female than male, despite having been born a man, then what is the better way to identify them? I don't really know the end. I'm a little bit torn on this one, frankly, just because, you know, it's not so clear. So, you know, what do I want on the passport? I mean, I don't have any problem with it being male or female. I don't think that you're entitled to have an X. You know, the government is making the document. The government can decide. But, of course, we as a people can decide what the government, you know, whether it's doing something sensible or not. So, see, it's a much, much more interesting conversation than a lot of people allow that it is. But, anyway, of course, when it comes to your picture, you can't put, like, a crayon picture or, you know, it's artist sketch. You know, you get the photo they take of you, you know, and if you didn't like the way it came out, well, tough for you. I identify as prettier. Nope, doesn't matter. You know?
You know, put a box on there for that.
522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Is it too early to have these kind of conversations, John?
Yeah,
it's always too early for you.
I know. I know.
Oh, I ran into somebody who was, did you guys win? Dolphins win yesterday?
Yes.
Oh, how'd that feel?
Felt great. Oh, that's why I'm wearing my victory shirt.
I ran into a Dolphins fan yesterday and, you know, talking with her, and she's like, yeah, I know. And I'm like, why would you choose that? She's like, I didn't. It's not fair. So anyway, do you have a good time at Eggfest?
Oh, loved it.
So good.
So much food.
They went over $1 million on Friday night for their total amount of money raised over the course of their existence.
Really?
Yeah, pretty good. And the project that they're working on this year is a companion canine, like a comfort dog for Ascension Sacred Heart. Either a golden doodle or a Labrador retriever, I think, are the two kinds. And they don't really know what it's going to be until they order. It's kind of this custom process where you tell them what you're going to use it for, which is going to be for companion for sick kids.
Right.
Okay. Or I think for adults, I don't think it's only for the children's hospital. But, you know, really valuable therapeutic tool just to improve people's. And you know what's funny? It's a lot of times, I guess the dog is trained to figure out who's the saddest in the room, you know, who's the, not necessarily the sickest, but who needs their companionship the most. A lot of times it's the parents.
And the dog will just go to them?
Yes.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah, because, you know, the parents are dealing with a lot of stress and pain and anxiety, and they're trying to hide it all the time.
Right.
You know, so honestly, they're often in the greatest need emotionally. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I was talking to, Adrian Maygard. I was afraid of her first name. And she's, you know, closely works with them. And so I just thought that was interesting. The dogs are expensive. They're like $30,000. But that's because of all the training.
Training. Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Extensive training for them. Anyway, 524 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Daniel will not stop crying. I've changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple Crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the Period of Purple Crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm kind of psychic. I have a fifth sense. What do you mean? It's like I have ESPN or something.
Can we talk about these terrible football games yesterday? I mean, your team won. That's fine. Whatever.
Right, in overtime.
But
yeah,
the Lions-Eagles game sucked.
It was so boring.
Oh, my
struggle.
God. It was so boring. How many fourth and tries and I think 0-for-5 the Lions? I'm a Lions fan, but I like the Eagles. I recorded this game thinking, this is going to be a shootout, man. This is going to be, you know, two high-powered offenses. Oh, my God. And then same thing for the Broncos-Chiefs game. This is going to be a big scoring game. You know,
no.
What the... the Broncos had five field goals, I think.
Yeah.
Come on.
But for...
So boring.
Purists that are like offense versus defense and the matchups.
So boring.
I know.
So boring.
But I thoroughly enjoyed it.
So boring. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
U.S. Navy carrier strike group is now in the Caribbean as the tensions continue deepening in the region. The USS Gerald R. Ford has joined forces already in the Caribbean as part of the Trump administration's effort to disrupt drug trafficking and dismantle criminal organizations. According to the Navy's news release, the aircraft carrier arrived in the region on orders from Secretary of War Pete Hegseth.
Yeah, and we've designated a cartel as a terrorist organization, De Los Soles, Cartel De Los Soles, the Cartel of the Sun, which is apparently run by, heavily overseen by, at least according to Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Nicolas Maduro, who we're trying to get rid of because he's not the legitimate leader of the country. I still don't really know what this is all about, and I do follow things. There is a part of me that wonders, you know, Venezuela's got a lot of oil. Anyway, go ahead, David.
Okay. O.J. Simpson's estate has now agreed to pay the family of Ron Goldman $58 million. According to court documents, the estate executor accepted the family's claim, which was originally filed for $117 million in 2021. It is unknown exactly how much the estate will be able to raise from selling off O.J. Simpson's assets. He was acquitted, of course, of the 1994 murders, but was found liable in civil court. And
is there a big market for OJ collectibles? Anyway, go on.
You know,
there seems like there was a time in the past they might have been more valuable, but
possibly. You know. But there's got to be people out there
I'm sure there are people out there.
I mean, when they find the knife, then that'll be worth a lot. I mean, you can auction that off
in the storage shed that they didn't search yet. Okay,
correct.
All right. Right. Go ahead, David.
Kiss's first show in 2 years is in the books. The band performed an acoustic set at their Kiss Cruise in Landlocked in Vegas event over the weekend. And during that event, they paid tribute to Ace Frehley, who passed away last month.
Every part of this story makes no sense to me.
Right.
So, Kiss, high-powered electric guitar sound rock, is playing acoustic music. And
right.
The name of the tour is the Kiss Cruise in Las Vegas, Landlocked.
Right. Yeah, you're getting it.
Where's the food?
It's all irony.
Yeah, it is.
Did they wear makeup? Did they wear makeup when they perform anymore?
I think they do.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be Kiss if they didn't put the makeup on.
I think
on,
there was a time when they didn't wear makeup. I'm not a particular expert on the history of Kiss, but I'm pretty sure there was a time where they actually ditched the makeup and maybe went back to it.
Budget cuts.
Okay. Well, the RFK Jr. had that particular kind of makeup on the band list, you know, and so you don't want to run afoul.
Yes, they wore makeup.
Yeah. See, okay, they were wearing so they were wearing makeup during the acoustic set of the high
on the cruise in Las Vegas.
On the cruise in the landlocked Las Vegas. Okay, so it's not that I misunderstood. Come watch us make ironic music. Were they wearing skinny jeans?
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Should be smooth sailing for air travelers. The flight reductions at 40 airports mandated by the FAA ended at 6 a.m. Eastern. The new guidance was put in place due to a shortage of air traffic controllers during the 43-day government shutdown, the longest in American history. President Trump is now on board with releasing the Jeffrey Epstein files, claiming this.
They're using Jeffrey Epstein as a deflection from the tremendous success that we're having as a party.
The president reversing course, saying Republicans should vote to release the files because we have nothing to hide. The U.S. military reports another strike on alleged drug boat kills three more people in the eastern Pacific. The campaign has left 83 people dead. Sunday night football, the Eagles squeaked by the Lions 16-9 despite gaining just 272 total yards. The Super Bowl champs are now 8-2. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It is 65 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies right now in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's on the way here in just a few minutes. Pensacola police have now made an arrest in the fatal stabbing of Dean Chambers last week at his Pensacola business. 55-year-old Joseph Davis was arrested. Investigators say Davis had previously been convicted of burglarizing that same shop. Investigators believe he may have been caught stealing again when the deadly confrontation happened. Chambers ran a custom marine parts business. Davis is currently being held with no bond on homicide and drug-related charges. An Escambia school board member raising some concerns about people parking on school property during events at the nearby Ashton-Brosnahan Athletic Park. Tom Harrell says visitors at the recent SEC soccer tournaments were parking at Lipscomb and MacArthur Elementary Schools and also at the Escambia Westgate Center. He says that potentially could create some liability issues for the school district and is recommending that they secure their school parking lots when not in use. Install no parking signs and require facility use agreements for anybody that does use the school property. The district says they're already working on installing signs to prohibit parking during non-school hours at campuses. The board is expected to vote on the recommendations at a future meeting. A pedestrian is dead after being hit by a vehicle on College Parkway and Airport Boulevard. That happened on Saturday. Police say that accident closed the intersection for several hours at the time. Hundreds of volunteers have gathered at the Pensacola Bay Center for the annual Bike Build, assembling bikes for kids in need over Christmas time. The On Bikes Pensacola founder, Walker Wilson, says they built about 500 bikes this year for children in Escambia County, primarily those in foster care. The bikes will be distributed through communities caring at Christmas and also some other local organizations. It started 9 years ago as a small effort among friends. It's now grown into a major community event. Over the years, On Bikes Pensacola has built more than 5,000 bikes total. Each child receives not just a bike, but also a helmet and a lock. If you missed the Bike Build and still want to help, On Bikes Pensacola is hosting their Winter Wander Ride fundraiser in December. That event raises money for next year's Bike Build. Now, the First Presbyterian Church of Pensacola received a remarkable gift from an anonymous donor recently. The Pensacola News Journal reporting the church now has a 7-foot Steinway Model B grand piano described by a former University of West Florida music instructor as being one of the world's finest pianos. The same donor also funded the refurbishment of the church's 1,000-pipe organ 2 years ago. Music director Tina Baran, who's beginning her 50th year at the church, Says they had the nicest organ in town, and now they certainly have one of the nicest pianos, too. The church was founded in 1845, has a long reputation for musical excellence at its services. It is 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be looking at some nice weather today. Temperatures starting off in the 60s, getting into the mid to upper 70s for your highs. Mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. Going into Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 77 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 62. Keeping that nice weather trend around for your Wednesday, partly cloudy skies. Temperatures warming up into the mid to upper 70s for the afternoon. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 64. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, we've got 64 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Add Tesla to the long list of American companies looking to separate itself from China. The Wall Street Journal reports the electric car maker is now requiring suppliers to exclude Chinese components when building cars here in the U.S. Tesla has reportedly been frustrated with changing costs amid the ongoing trade dispute between the two countries. Could be one of the final major moves by the Oracle of Omaha. Warren Buffett is typically steered away from tech companies as the head of Berkshire Hathaway, but the investment firm has revealed a stake in Google's parent company, Alphabet. The 95-year-old Buffett is ending his six-decade run as Berkshire Hathaway's chief executive at the end of the year. Alphabet shares are up 5% pre-market. More broadly on Wall Street, futures are mostly higher after what was a choppy few days of trading last week. The Dow and S&P 500 finished up slightly, though AI stocks suffered. We'll learn more about the AI trade Wednesday with NVIDIA's earnings. That's Your Money Now.
Journey through a classic story of small wonders and big dreams.
Not a second can we spare, 'cause it all comes down to Christmas.
As one of America's favorite Yuletide movies comes to life. Ralphie, his family, and best pals, live on stage. We triple dog dare you to miss the smash hit A Christmas Story, the musical.
Coming to the Sanger Theater in Pensacola December 2nd and 3rd. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line.
You heard me right. Here's how.
Tune to 98.7. Wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed. Then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpia Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola Right Now, all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us on this Monday morning. The bill to end the shutdown had several things in it that were kind of surprising. One was this crazy payout availability to any of the senators, eight senators who had their phone records subpoenaed after the January 6th riot, protest, insurrection, you characterize it how you will, if they had their phone records not disclosed to them that they were being searched. And it's like possibly $2 million each, because it's $1 million for the non-disclosure and $1 million for the phone records both. And it goes retroactive back 3 years. I think it's 2022 or 2021. That's a crazy provision, absolutely crazy. So that's something that's been getting, you know, a fair bit of discussion. Like, why would these senators have this and only these senators and not members of the House? Or, I mean, it's a weird part of the bill. Evil, immoral, whatever you call it, theft. Anyway, you know, another part of the bill has to deal with the massive changes in marijuana, or at least of THC. And on Friday, we had a chance to talk to our good friend, State Representative District 1, Michelle Salzman. Michelle, welcome back to the program.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here.
So, yeah, great to have you. Let's talk about this. What happened on Monday? By my read, you had a kind of a, call it a loophole, call it a gray zone, whatever you want to do, in a bill that passed in 2018, the Farm Bill, made it possible to have a bunch of THC and THC-derived products on the marketplace, like the little drinks that have THC that you see at the Publix or whatever.
But not on purpose.
Right, right. Not it was it inadvertently allowed that. And so we had this massive proliferation. And now this new bill has completely shut that off. So let's start from the beginning. What did the bill do then, and what's changed?
Well, initially that bill was made for farming. Mm-hmm. The bill was passed for farming. It gave all the rules and regulations about how to farm hemp. It did not get into specifics on consuming it because it wasn't meant to make hemp consumable. But you know us Americans, we love to turn everything into something else. We want to supersize it, add this. You know, we'll turn anything into something.
If George Washington Carver can find 10,000 uses for peanuts, by gum, we can find a way to make hemp into THC and get people high on their drinks.
That's what we did. That's what we did. We synthetically alter THC. That is what is happening all across the world. It's becoming synthetically altered, which means that it's a hemp-derived THC that is legal because there was nothing making it illegal. So manufacturers, you know, scientists, the super smart people found a way to turn it into a consumable product. But not only did they do that, they kept making it stronger and stronger and changing the compound. And now you got Delta 8, Delta 9, you've got all these different variances. They were really brilliant about it. And so now you have a legal recreational marijuana that's happened all across the United States. And I'm talking, these are the things that you see when you go to a gas station and they, you know, the beverages or the vape pens or, you know, it says 1,000 milligrams of THC. Yeah, it's the problem with that, though. I know it's going to be illegal through this bill, but the problem with that, because it was not intended to be a consumable product, there was no regulation, no end-of-line testing, no nothing. So a lot of these products you were buying from the gas station were hemp grown on the side of a road with pesticides or from China or some other third-world country with no real idea of what is actually inside that product. So you have a whole group of Americans that are just buying this stuff. Now, some of it is grown properly, Andrew. I'm not saying that everybody's a bad actor, but the problem was it was the wild, wild west out there. There was no regulation at all. So that's why you see all these head shops every couple of blocks, you know, with the marijuana leaves on, you know, banners outside, because they were able to, by federal government law, they were able to do this because they synthetically altered the hemp product.
See, I will confess, having like such a low level of interaction with the drug culture of any kind, I really didn't even know all of that. I mean, I kind of read in preparation for our interview, but because of you saying, hey, we should talk about this, because I kind of mentioned it in passing the other day, I learned all this. And like, here's what I thought, okay, as the ignorant, you know, Andrew McKay, I thought that all the hemp shops were basically selling the medical marijuana. That's the place where you go to get your medical marijuana stuff filled. I didn't even realize, even though I had seen it in the stores and I heard about the vape pens, there was a part of me that said, well, obviously they can't just be buying it off the shelves. No, they're just buying it off the shelves like they really, really are.
So I had, I chair Housing, Ag, and Tourism, and I had two Republicans file two separate bills to regulate hemp last session. And I was like, I went to the speaker. I was like, whose bill do you want to move? Because these two, you know, I'm not going to choose. And speaker was like, well, I don't want to move any of them, you know. And I was like, well, okay, that's fine. And he didn't want to move any of them because he didn't want to make the choice either. He was like, we got to figure this out. So we had to pause and say, what are we really going to do? Because we actually did pass a bill that regulated hemp, made it pretty much illegal. And we sent it to the governor's desk and he vetoed it. The governor vetoed the bill because it was too strenuous. Mm-hmm. It would have put a majority of the businesses that are involved in this in Florida out of business. And Florida has one of the largest hemp manufacturer distributors in the nation here in the state. And that company in itself has a lot of economic power. You don't want to ruin the machine. So the problem the legislature had was we as a elected body across the nation empowered, created this system, this economy, and then we were just going to literally crumble it overnight with hundreds of thousands of jobs, billions of dollars of revenue. So it was a challenge. We were like, how do we fix this problem? So I said, well, hemp isn't even real in the first place. Why don't we just do a work group? We'll create a special work group. We'll pick people out of the legislature. We'll sit down and we will publicly, with every single component of this market, we will have that conversation and we're going to figure out what in the world we really do need to do. And I'm going to tell you, at least half of the House members that were on this panel, including myself, said publicly, I can't believe this is real. I had no idea you could actually get high off of this stuff. This is crazy.
Right.
We have to fix it. We've got to put guardrails. We can't just have this stuff out. I mean, kids are eating it. The number of poison control phone calls from overdose on marijuana is astronomical. The number of ER visits is astronomical because they bring these packaged products home that look like Skittles or gummy bears. They set it on their counter, and then their three-year-old thinks it's candy. They eat it all, and now we have an overdose situation.
Just to put it in perspective, because I know people might be just tuning in, the law that ended the shutdown that passed is going to, when it goes into effect in 2026, is going to make about 95% of the $28 billion U.S. retail hemp market illegal. Because it will, like right now, a hemp-derived gummy, has maybe 2.5 to 10 milligrams of THC, or the derived THC products.
Or more, 1,000.
No, you're right. But this sets a limit at 0.4 milligrams per container.
That's correct.
Which is almost nothing by comparison with what's there now. And if all these products are based on the high concentration, I mean, it is going to make all of it illegal. Okay, so back to you're talking about the working group, talking about what we do now. Where does this leave us and where do we go as Florida?
Well, let me get back to the overdose thing because I want to make it clear. I don't want to mislead the audience. When I say overdose, you can't actually overdose on THC. The problem is there's not enough scientific evidence behind what happens when you have too much, where you overconsume. Like when you eat too much food, you throw up. You're not going to die from it, but you're sick. So when you eat too much THC or a child consumes all of this THC, we don't know what really it does to the body over time. So you have to take them to the ER. They're already, they're sick. They don't feel well. It's a bad scenario. You feel like crap. So you've got to have fluids. You've got to be monitored for days. So while we know you're not going to necessarily die, we don't know what it's going to do to you.
It's certainly unexpected, right? I mean, a kid's not expecting, or a parent's not expecting that reaction is the point.
Right. So it's important but it costs the Floridians millions of dollars a year in medical issues because they were pointed towards kids, maybe not necessarily on purpose, but they wanted everybody to go, ooh, that looks fun. I want to eat that. I want to try that. So we were trying to rein all of that in at the state level without completely putting the businesses out of business because of the last veto. Remember, we passed something.
Right.
It would have removed recreational marijuana, which is what hemp-derived THC is, except there's no end-of-line testing, so you're smoking carcinogens and all kinds of really bad things. That's why you see a lot of people getting really sick from the vapes, because they're not necessarily vaping clean stuff. They're vaping whatever it was that somebody grew on the side of the road that used a chemical change, and now you can all of a sudden put it in your beverage.
So with this law going into place, I mean, the president signed it. We're done. Does this wipe out the all? I mean, does this mean all of those shops go away because in Florida it's a federal crime?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So that means that they did my job for me. And I'm going to tell you, I got so many text messages. They're like, oh my God. I was like, no, please, somebody regulate it, because it is such a complex market. I mean, you had the beverages alone. You had the three-tier system argument. You had the alcohol, tobacco, and firearm argument.
Yeah.
You had the FDACS, which is Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services argument. Like, there were so many regulatory arms put in place because nobody was really supposed to have to do this. Hemp wasn't supposed to be edible. It was supposed to be a textile.
Yeah, you make rope, right? and tents out
exactly,
of it and stuff, right?
Exactly. And at the same time, there were some really valid arguments. There are some great companies out there that use that as an opportunity to make a holistic hemp-derived THC product. So people that didn't want to eat all that extra stuff that comes, the additives that come into the stuff you get from the medical cannabis, they could just have it from this specifically, where they grew it in a lab environment, and it wasn't something that you couldn't trust. They did end-of-line testing. You know, some companies actually did take it seriously and do it right. And those good actors, those were the ones we were trying to figure out, how do we not hurt them? And don't forget, I mentioned, we have a lot of industry in Florida that ships it out across the United States. So the places that are allowed to have recreational marijuana, those places should still be able to have the hemp-derived THC beverage that's on the, you know, that's on the shelf. So they're going to have a whole, I mean, it's going to be such a huge,
it's going to be a mess. Yeah.
Market.
And because we already have the problem of it's legal in places, even though it's federally illegal, right? It's a Schedule One, even though there's all kinds of places where it's recreationally legal. And that has created banking issues and all kinds of other problems. That same, as I understand it, that same level of conflict is now going to come into place for all of these THC derived things. And so in places like Florida, where recreational is not legal, I assume they'll have to go away. In places like Colorado, it's going to be a bit of a question. Well, anyway, I really appreciate, Michelle, that you spent some time to explain all this to you. But before we let you go, I did want to give you a chance to talk about, you've got a food drive, food giveaway going on tomorrow. Is that right?
I do. Tomorrow morning, you can start lining up as early as you want. But at 7:30 in the morning, we will start the line. We started out with 300 families worth of food. So for a week of groceries with fresh produce, meats, and all that. And it's Thanksgiving, so you get that plus a Thanksgiving meal for your family to include a whole chicken. We do chicken, not turkey, because the majority of people that are in that situation don't have an oven that works. And so, I lived poor. I know the turkeys were a joke most of the time, but a chicken, you can put it in the toaster oven. You can chop it up. You can make that fresh meat out of it. It's got cranberry sauce, stuffing, and green beans, and even fresh pies. Pensacola Christian College donated the pies. Butcher Shop donated all of the meat. So we started out with 300, and then we had a lady who lost her son to gun violence last year, and she wanted to do something in his name. And so she called us and said, would you mind if I gave you, you know, money to sponsor a few meals for Thanksgiving in honor of my son who passed away? So we exponentially increased that number she gave us, and we increased it by 100. So now 400 families, not 300, are going to get everything that I just mentioned.
Oh, that's
and
great.
She'll be able to come out and put maybe a flyer. I told her she can put a flyer in there if she wants to share the story of her son. How meaningful is that? So
that's
cool.
Great.
But tomorrow morning, Marcus Point Baptist Church starts at 7:30. We will go until it's gone. And from what I understand, it's going to be gone pretty quickly because the need is so high.
So Marcus Point Baptist Church tomorrow morning.
That's right.
Get in line whenever, but the actual giveaway starts at, you said, 7:30. Is that what you said?
7:30. You can walk up.
We are totally out of time. Up against the traffic break again. I love you. So thank you so much for the time this morning. I'll see you at Egg Fest over the weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you so much for explaining
all
this to us.
Absolutely. Yes. Take care.
All right, 5:53 on News Radio 92.3. I just think it was amazing that the entire hemp industry grew out of this basically loophole element, or the THC industry grew out of this interpretation or oversight, whatever you want to call it, from the old ag bill, and that all of a sudden on last Monday, that all got wiped away completely. That that alone is troubling to me, that something would become available through such a weird process and that it would go away through such a weird and sudden process. I just think that legislation ought to be done a little bit more thoughtfully than that, and it definitely was not the case with this particular subject. 4-3-7-16-20, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars. You know, cars that are between 1 and 4 years young, low miles, 10 to 40,000 miles, it kind of is their sweet spot. You're going to be the first, maybe the second owner. And you're going to get a car that's in great shape because they only buy cars that are in great shape. Included in every car you buy is a warranty to 100,000 miles or 10 years. They're going to take great care of you. And one of the things that they do, just so you know, is their orientation towards you as a customer is different. Okay? They want you to be this customer, the next customer, the customer after that. They want to sell you all the cars you're ever going to buy for the rest of your life. And the reason that matters is because they want to make you feel so good about the process that when you go home a week later, you're still happy. And a month later, you're still happy. And 6 months later, you're still happy. They want you to be not just, you know, sometimes you leave a used car deal and you're like, I got out of there with my skin and I hope to never have to see those people again, which is not how they work. They do not want you to feel that way. They want you to feel like if there's an issue, you call them. And in fact, they'll call you to make sure there's no issues because they just want you to be happy and come back. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Running a business is tough, but getting connected shouldn't be. Data Revolution is making it easy with free installation of phones and network upgrades. Whether you're opening a new office or upgrading your current setup, our expert team handles everything fast, reliably, and with zero installation fees. Search Data Revolution today to schedule your free installation and see our over 70 five-star reviews. Data Revolution is helping your business stay connected.
Season's greetings from our Gulf Breeze Natural Gas team. Holiday nights means it's time to gather around your fireplace with your family. We are proud to serve all of Gulf Breeze and Pensacola Beach. If you'd like to learn more about the benefits of natural gas for your home or business, please visit gulfbreezenaturalgas.com. We also offer appliance rebates. And remember, we are here to help make natural gas your holiday style, your holiday comfort, and your energy.
The cooler weather in Pensacola is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's planting roses, planting shrubs and trees in cool weather color, and of course, planning for spring. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesdays, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Bailey's Produce and Nursery.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I call sandwiches Sammy's, Sandoozles, or Adam Sandler's. Fried chicken is fry fry, chicky chick. Chicken parm is chicky chicky parm parm. Chicken cacciatore, chicky catch.
Good morning, 5:57 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Argos lose a heartbreaker. They should have won this game like four different times. And if they weren't also playing the referees, they might have. It's weird to have the referees be so messed up at home. You know, you usually think you get an at-home advantage. Maybe this went the other way. I don't know. They just seem to get call after call after call. Not penalties, sometimes the penalties, but a couple of ball spots and things that were just like a crucial ball spot on a fourth down was botched, and then they had to score one touchdown three times just to get it. It was a mess. But they also had a kick blocked and run back for a two-point, you know. I guess I didn't realize that was the rule. If you're kicking a field goal and the other team grabs it and runs it back, it's 2 points.
Correct.
So I thought that was kind of
basically
interesting.
Safety. Yeah.
Yeah. But not a safety. But right.
Right.
The same.
But it's the same.
And yeah. It makes sense. You can't give them a full score on that because it's not a full play. I mean, anyway. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Well, President Trump now says that House Republicans should vote to release the Epstein files.
As he's always said.
Always, right?
He's never been in a different position. You make it sound like he's changed his mind.
He posted on Truth Social last night saying there's nothing to hide and it's time to move on.
As he's always said.
Of course.
Every single time.
Every time.
Before he said, you know, before, which is what he said before, which is not what he said in the middle, but what he says now. So
the House is now expected to vote. Sometime this week, yeah.
Still trying to follow it.
Yeah. But you know, the joke the on SNL pokey. Was that...
The file's
you know,
hokey pokey.
The joke on SNL was that he was a Trump from a different timeline. And it got me to thinking, well, if you would say that it's a true statement, if it's true in any timeline, then everything Trump says is true because it must be true in some timeline.
Somewhere.
Yeah. Although typically the rule is it's got to be true in the timeline.
Strangely
you're actually
speaking accurate.
In. Yeah, yeah, all right. What else, sir?
Well, protesters gathered in Charlotte, North Carolina to speak out against the deployment of Border Patrol agents there. Apparently over 80 arrests were made over the weekend. ICE called it Operation Charlotte's Web. And then the demonstrators called their protest an ICE out demonstration.
That's terrific. It's some pig.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.